I've called this Black Thursday. Every year we have something called Black Friday. But this year it's on Thursday, Thanksgiving. In fact, we won't even do anything on Friday at the stores. It'll just be a regular day. It'll all be done on Thursday evening. And this is the time of year when everyone's happy, right? Most of the people show up to buy gifts, celebration of the birth of Jesus. Everyone is always so nice to everyone. They're actually complaining about going into debt, fighting the crowds, and yet they seem compelled to get there and do it. Unfortunately, I have to work it, and I see this firsthand. The pushing and shoving, yelling and screaming, and that's the parents. This is the time the little kids are actually acting better than the parents are. 1 year I worked it from 5 in the evening to about 1 in the morning. And they started this countdown, I think it was at 6 o'clock, to start the sale. And as soon as they could go, yelling and screaming started at a fever pitch. And 2 seconds after that, management and the police were run into one section of the store. Already a fight broke out. I mean, it does, and it's not gender specific either. It can be women just as fast as it is guys. But the police do help a lot. They used to come in just plain clothes. Now they wear the uniform, and it does seem to keep people a little bit more even keeled. I just don't understand why they want to cause all this trouble. Because every store has, the police. But Satan must be loving this. These nominal Christians who behave like this. The thing is, a lot of these people are not buying things for themselves. They feel like they failed if they don't get just the perfect gift for their loved ones. But they're even willing to fight for it. This is all about Satan and his way of confusion. Because let's turn to 1 Corinthians 14:33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. And in the margin where it says confusion, it also says disorder. So if God is not the author of confusion and disorder, then who is? We can turn to James 3:16. James 3:16. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Now there's a story in the Bible about a king who had everything, more than anyone ever. So if we will turn to 1 Kings 3, verse 5. 'At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" And then if you'll drop down to verse 9, he says, "Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" This speech pleased the Lord. Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing, and have not asked long life for yourself, nor asked riches for yourself, nor asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall there be any like you arise after you. Verse 13, and I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. And then verse 14, that's kind of the kicker here. It says, so if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked in them, I will lengthen your days. So David had to struggle and fight his whole life. But he stuck to his faith in God. You don't need to turn there, but we'll read the end of the story of Solomon, which is in 1 Kings 11. It said, but King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, from the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn your hearts to their gods. Solomon clung to these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. I mean, shows here he had more women than even Wilt Chamberlain admitted to. So in verse 4, for it was so when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. For Solomon went after... No, I wasn't going to read that. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not fully follow the Lord as he did his father David. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, and on the hill that is east of Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the people of Ammon. And he did likewise for all his foreign wives, who burnt incense and sacrificed to their God. So the Lord became angry with Solomon, because his heart had turned from the Lord, God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. And he commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he did not keep what the Lord had commanded. Therefore the Lord said to Solomon, because you have done this, I have not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom away from you and give it to your servant. Nevertheless, I will not do it in your days for the sake of your father David. I will tear it out of the hand of your son. However, I will not tear away the whole kingdom. I will give one tribe to your son for the sake of my servant David and for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen. In verse 14, now the Lord raised up an adversary against Solomon. So he started out, well, with all of his wealth and all of his knowledge, did not help him. He had unbelievable peace and prosperity during his reign, but his longing for women turned his heart. He was spared from the wars and strife his father had dealt with, and his reign is described almost in millennial terms. He started out with right intentions, but he let his heart turn to evil. We have had a period in our nation of unbelievable peace and prosperity, but we too have let our hearts turn away from God. And those of us in the retail world dread this time of year. It slowly builds up for weeks to a frenzy of participation, of preparation, I mean, and then the buying starts. It is over pretty quickly, but that short period of time has even caused some to be trampled to death. What kind of happy and good spirit will see somebody fall and just step right over them or right on them just to get to a sale, which has happened. Most people start out with the intentions of giving the perfect gift, but then somehow, or something or someone stirs them up to the point where it all goes out the window. The store usually wants me to work during this. But this year I got out of it. I went up and asked an assistant about Veterans Day, and after we got done talking, he asked me, well, would you like to be on the team with me where we prepare all the Black Friday stuff? I said, yeah, sure. Sounds like that'd be okay. Well, so we have to do that. And then on Thursday, we have to set these pallets in the morning. So I had to be 7 to 4. I didn't miss all that. Someone goes, well, since you're going to get off early, you're going to stick around for the sales? I must have looked at them like they're crazy. And I said, no, I'm going to be like Usain Bolt, world's fastest sprinter, and I'm getting out of there, heading to my car. I'm going to have some turkey and dressing later. And I won't be back until Sunday, and it should all be calmed down by then. We see people with good intentions to do something or even to obey the rules until they are influenced by Satan's spirit of confusion and anarchy. We need to try to make sure we stay focused and not get drawn in to the spirit of disorder that this whole world is being pulled toward. Keep your focus on the kingdom, and don't let the skirmishes along the way distract you from what is of most value.